elaborate on the candidates and the nominees that we have received from the long list. And before I continue, to my left is Mr. Wasim Matthews, our procedural officer. We also have Mary Ann Burgess. I will allow the members to introduce themselves for the record, together with any guest at the back. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Gillian Bosman, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Lorraine Gosa, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Masulika, alternate member of the committee.
Good morning, I am Abbas, member of the committee.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Rachel Windvogel, alternate of the standing committee.
Mishka Fischer from PMG.
Good morning, members. My name is Ngozi Tsikamunga from the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sports.
Good morning, members. I'm Niran Gali, also from the Department of Cultural Affairs.
Dr. Tlamuka, thank you for being here. I understand it's under short notice, so we do appreciate it. Is there any apologies that we have received? Okay, no apologies has been received. I will now, because we have already received, the long list of candidates. Before we even kickstart, if you have any pressing questions at this stage, I will allow Dr. Tlamuka to take up a seat over here to my right. And then if you have any questions before we actually discuss and deliberate on it, for clarity and the process moving forward, we can then take a round of questions now.
One question. In our previous meeting, we asked for a list of members who used to be part of Heritage Western Cape, and if we could have those members and their contributions. Oh, is that being distributed?
Yeah. We got that. Now we have Dr. Tlamuka here for roughly 15 to 30 minutes. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Members, do you have any other member have a question to the CEO?
For now.
If I can get clarity with regard to the long list and the vetting process that was undertaken in this regard, was there such a process that was undertaken? And if you can elaborate on that one.
There is no vetting process at this stage. We've never asked for vetting, so, but it's a crucial matter.
Member Boeta?
Anything prohibiting us now at this stage to ask for a vetting in terms of all candidates received?
Doctor, I'll allow you to answer.
I think there is nothing prohibiting, but it would be better if a decision on vetting made, probably it should be done on those members which the minister would want to appoint. But also, the vetting is sometimes can be a very lengthy process. There is what in the department or in the public service we do when we don't necessarily do vetting on staff that are employed. But what is it? What's the term? It's where there is a security checkups on the person, not necessarily vetting, because vetting is the exercise that is done by the intelligence service, which normally takes a while. So for this, we may not require a vetting of that level, but maybe just a security check on people.
I could maybe ask, if we take away the word vetting and we use the word verify, is there a process to verify that the people that have been nominated? And the way I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that individuals nominated candidates or candidates nominated themselves, and we are trusting that the information that they provided about themselves is true and accurate. Now the question is, what mechanism is in place, and what mechanism can be put in place to make sure that that information corresponds with the truth and what actually happened?
Yeah, I agree. There may be a need of verification of the CV, and also just a matter of verification of the qualifications, just to ensure that there isn't there is no falsification of data that is presented. And also, in the light of what we've seen in the last weeks, so I think that level of security check is crucial, so that you get to know who, in fact, you have in country. So I will, maybe, Che, may I then request that I will inform the HOD, and so that an executive decision can be made that possible those candidates that are recommended for appointment, or that minister wishes to appoint, are vetted, so they can make a consideration on that.
I've noted Member Bota, Member Barnes.
Okay, I'm just coming back to what the doctor has said. In terms of waiting, he says it's a long process. Right? Now, in terms of now using verification, what would be the difference in time to conclude a verification?
We'll first take the second question as well.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, I'm partly covered, although I think we are sitting with about 40 applications. And if we go back to vetting and we are doing 40 applications and the lengthiness that is being indicated here, I don't know how that is going to work. However, I'm partly covered with Director when we're saying that we should take rather the process of shortlisting. It will be better for all of us. Let's shortlist and verify after shortlisting, because with this vote, I think the ad, where the mistake came, in the ad, that the whole process before we came here, the vetting was supposed to take place. Now we are going back, and we have to go back for very long. Then if we are going to do the legal vetting way of the months and the procedure, then we must rather say this whole exercise will be put on hold and we must start from scratch. That is my view.
Chair and members, let me, the question of the difference between, the time difference between vetting and verification. Vetting is done by NIA, while the verification is done by security service providers in government. So it normally takes about average a week to do that verification. It's not as vetting, because vetting has different levels, top secret, high secret, confidential, and it's a very technical process. But I think for this, if the executive member is of shared the very same views, verification could be done. It's something that we can place to, or maybe the committee can recommend to minister to ensure that before she appoints members, she should consider if she can verify their credentials. Well, to respond to Member Barnes, I think it's the best way also in terms of ensuring that you do not vet people who would not ordinarily have been appointed, who are not even shortlisted or not considered. The best way is to vet those members that minister wishes to appoint. Although I also do understand that sometimes you would have not been able to pick up on a number of issues during the long list process because you did not vet. But maybe going forward is something that we need to look at, that perhaps before we send, the department sends a long list, there is kind of a basic security check on them, or that kind of verification, so that the information that is presented to the committee is considered to be prudent and is considered to meet the minimum requirements of people to be on the short list. For example, one of the requirements is that nominees must be South Africans, South African citizens. We did not do that vetting. We rely on the information that is provided. Whether that information is in fact true, it can only come if there is a verification. So I am kind of also agreeing that the verification is required before an appointment is made. But I would request that the committee makes that recommendation to the member of the executive.
Members, any other questions? Because I would also just like, and for the record, I hear what you are saying, and in the sense that it is a part-time post and not a full-time post. In that way, I would concur with Member Bosman when the verification. But in terms of seeing that this is a new committee, if you can briefly shed light on how it was done previously, because I understand that it is our role to shortlist, but also the process is not prescribed. In terms of if it's interviews, if it's ranking, if it's by consensus, if we're going to vote on each and every candidate, how was it done previously, and what learnings did you take out of that previously? Because we wouldn't just want to rush a process because this is an important part of.
Chair, I would not know how the standing committee went through the process. I think Wasim might be the right person. But what I can share with you is my experience when it comes to these processes. At one stage I was an advisor to the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture in the National Assembly. And one of the constitutional body is the Pan South African Languages Board. So the legislation requires that the committee also conducts this process. But in their legislation, they go further to prescribe that there should be interviews. But in this case, the legislation does not prescribe that. It only prescribes that the committee conducts the shortlist. So in doing that, I think the committee should be guided by the rules of the hubs on how such processes are taken, and also it can develop its own procedures on how it's going to do this. But Mr. Matthews is the one who is more privileged to do.
Alan, over to
our
capable
procedure.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. Members, the previous committee, when it came to the decapsulated entities, when it came to shortlisting, via input from each member, they would score or indicate with a scoring, say, out of 5, for example, with specific criteria. And then based on that, you get a ranking from highest to lowest, lowest to highest, and the committee would then base its decision with shortlist on that ranking. Now, as it said, the ranking is not something which is mandatory, it was just a mechanism that committee used previously. also the number of candidates were far less. I think the most we had was in the low 20s. So scoring, the scoring process, we weren't there with a long, long list, which might not be the case in this instance with 42 nominees. So it really depends on the committee, how it is that you want to develop your own process, because you will be dealing with, I think, the other two entities, Language Committee and Cultural Commission. I think their terms also come to an end during your term, during your current term. And then there are also instances where there might be vacancies with those other entities where you would have to also shortlist. So it is by the committee's decision how it is that they see fit to carry through with the process.
Chair, can I then just make a proposal perhaps? Can we agree then that the committee look at the 40 names that are here, and the committee then comes up with a list of people that we'd like to score. So we use the criteria, the paper-based criteria. Each, we then score members based on whether they meet the minimum criteria, and I think that needs to be included in there. So are you a South African citizen? And if Wasim could provide us with the criteria that was used before, and we can see whether we want to adjust that as well, because I think that would be helpful. We then score the candidates according to whether we think they meet that criteria, and then we agree, I think, to meet the candidates. And I think for a body as important as Heritage Western Cape, it's important to engage and to speak to the people that's going to be appointed there. So I would suggest that we include some time to, in one day perhaps, interview 20, 25 or so. We need to submit between 4 and 20 names to the minister so that we do that. So we have a paper-based system that we can do internally. We then invite the people that have made it through to that second round to the to an interview process, and we can have a 10 to 15 minute conversation with them around, and we can develop a set of questions that can also then can apply a scoring mechanism too, and then after that we make recommendations to the minister. Any other member?
Yes, Chair. Chair, I'm coming back to the criteria. What I want to know is the criteria set by the department, or is the criteria that we are having influence on, or are we deciding on the criteria? And also, where is the criteria?
Would you like to answer that one?
Yeah, so broadly, the criteria is in the legislation, but it is not up to a level of how this committee should conduct that business. It just says the department minister must submit to the standing committee. But what should then guide the criteria is what is in the advert, because that is crucial. So if the committee, for example, submits a short list of 20 names, which would be my recommendation, it should ensure that those 20 names, in fact, have the variety of expertise that are listed in the advert and in the application forms, because it's crucial to ensure that there is the committee that, or the minister, has a short list that is balanced. In the Heritage Western Cape, you need somebody who has experience in built environment, in architecture, in planning, in social history, in archaeology, in paleontology, in a number of sub-disciplines that eventually influences the nature of the work of Heritage Western Cape. All those are in the application pack, where people indicate where their expertise and their experiences are. With regards to meeting people, interview or face screening, I would say provincial parliament would just need to find out in terms of the rules whether is the committee empowered to do so, and if it is empowered, what provisions empower the committee to do so, or can the committee, or whether is there any house rules that allows the committee to do that.
Welcome to Member Marie.
I apologize, sir, that I'm late. Traffic.
Duly noted, sir. Just for the way forward, we understand that there's two requirements to consider by the minister with regard to the appointment of 4 and 14, but also that no member may serve for two consecutive terms. I understand that based on this, no one is actually reapplying to serve for a third term, because there's only 5 reapplying. Okay.
Members?
Before we say thank you to the doctor, is there any other last question that you have? Member Marie?
We are deliberating the process with regard to the shortlisting.
Yes. Sir, because cultural committee is a vital component to establish cultural rights. We must make sure that all the various cultural groups are adequately represented. And I want to ask this question of the committee. When you look at the applicants, do you take into consideration, for argument's sake, there's a Muslim Malay cultural community in the Western Cape. There's a Greek cultural community in the Western Cape. There's an Afrikaner cultural community. There's a Khoza cultural community in the Western Cape. They make up the biggest components of the various cultural groups. Are you going to take that into account to make sure that all these cultural groups are adequately represented?
We are dealing with heritage, but let me, Member Bosman.
Chair, I think Mr. Maria hasn't had the benefit of being here earlier because he was stuck in traffic. We are going to consider that, Mr. Maria. What we were just discussing now is the process of developing that criteria for what the shortlisting is going to be. So what we've agreed, sir, is that we're going to, or what we've discussed is that we're going to put together a criteria for selecting members to serve on the Heritage Western Cape Council. Wasim was telling us that the Cultural Commission will be coming somewhere in this term. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you that broadly those are representatives or people with understanding and knowledge of the significance of those cultural groupings and its impact on heritage is important. But we're not discussing the broad detail right now. We're only discussing what the process is going to be going forward. So what we've agreed is, A, that we're going to, Wasim is going to send us the criteria, and hopefully we'll get it quite quickly. And what we'll do is develop a rubric, I think it is, where we make sure that each of the different requirements for the different positions that we need to fill, the different expertise that we need to have is there, and we will then, on our own, as individual members, go through the 40 nominations that's been received. We will then score those individuals. We will then come to our next committee meeting. We will then agree on a short list of people to interview, and we will then make a recommendation to the minister of about 20 names, of which she has to then choose to appoint.
So taking into account the qualifications and the experiences and the process moving forward in line with the requirements for members and the areas of expertise that we have received in the first presentation on the 20th of August. So we're taking all of that in order to compile a shortlist. And in that view, there is various factors to take into account. But let me,
Member Van Vogel and Member Van.
Thank you, Chair. Doctor mentioned something about the advert. Are we not supposed to use the advert if it comes to shortlisting? So I just need that clarity.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Elaine, Member Van Vogel. My apologies for going back always to the criteria, but I need to have clarity while talking here. I didn't see the advert. So what I want to know, the geographic side of it, on the advert, was there something that says on the advert that we want everybody to be represented? It's a clarity question, which I think I'm going to need in future as a reference.
You do.
I remember that this was briefly discussed on the 20th of August as well. But if you can just reiterate.
Yes, it's a very crucial element, because quite a number of times a perception has been established that in fact this Heritage Western Cape is in fact Heritage Cape Town. And quite a number of times a lot of work has been spent around Cape Town. And the heritage of this province is not only in the city. Yes, the majority of the people are in the city, but the heritage that is in Morrisbeck is as equally important as the one that is in Cape Town. So it's crucial that the committee, the Council of Heritage Western Cape, is also fairly represented. It's crucial that there are people from the West Coast and all different regions. And the Karoo is number one region that we're trying to make inroads, because there is crucial element of diverse heritage that sits in the Karoo.
Amen.
And currently, in fact, on the 12th Thursday, we are going to Prince Albert to have a stakeholders engagement. We've called on people from the Great Karoo so that we can discuss how we can assist them to protect heritage. So it's crucial that in the long list, I mean in the short list, you also require, you also zone into geographical spread. And that's also what the regulation 7D requires. It requires that in appointing, the following must be taken into consideration. And D talks about cultural, geographical, and demographic considerations. So what Member Murray spoke about in the context of cultural commission, it slightly applies to here, because there has to be cultural diversity. There has to be geographical and demographic diversity.
Is there any other questions that you have, members? So the criteria used previously for the shortlisting, I can confirm, as was seen relayed earlier on, is that the committee used the criteria given in the presentation, which we received on the 20th of August, which gave the requirements, but also the sub-disciplines where a nominee should at least have experience or experience in. So that was used, and then from the long list and from a matrix system, the experience and qualification, together with reading the, and we'll make sure that you all, that all the members have a copy. So as per schedule 2, 6, that members of the Council of Heritage Western Cape must have A, B, and C, which is listed in the presentation page 9, but also, like the doctor mentioned now, 7D, referring to your comments, sir.
Thank you.
We will take all of that into consideration to compile a shortlist on a ranking system, but we need to discuss that further as we continue. Before we allow the doctor to carry on with his work, is there any question or comment that you would like to make? Thank you so much for being here. It is highly appreciated.
Thank you.
members, thank you so much. I fully hope that there is some clarity moving forward. And as a committee, we now need to resolve on that process that we will undertake. Is that clear to anyone, to everyone? I would now allow input and comment in that regard.
Chair, can I? Sorry, I'm jumping the gun here. Am I recognized?
Yes. Member Bosman.
I don't want to pretend we're on a site visit to Lynchburg again when members jump up. Or chairperson, sorry, let me rather collect myself there. Is it possible to get the criteria that was used last year for today's meeting so we can actually just do the rubric now, and then members, we can get that, it can be sent to us electronically, and we can then come to the meeting, of our following meeting, prepared. Mm. Because we've already gone through the applications, we've read it, we just now need to score it.
Any other input or comment?
Also, Chair, can you add that regulation that Director was speaking about?
Okay.
Yeah, can we have all package?
Okay. Let me give over to Wasim. Remember, Bushman stepped out during the feedback of the board to that criteria.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, I've just asked a colleague of mine to print copies of the regulations. I only have two extra here. So.
Mm-hmm.
Member Bosman, the previous committee, we followed the same format in terms of having the department present first. So what they did was use the information given in the presentation as well as the regulations to determine their shortlisting. It wasn't extensive in terms of maybe creating criteria and saying, okay, a candidate must meet four of the specialized areas, for example. It was just using it on, say, face value, but whatever the qualifications and experience were of the nominees, the members' scoring was based on that. So that is how, by consensus, by scoring, we ended up on the ranking. So we, in essence, two members could score the same candidate completely differently. But then the average or the total thereof, that was led to the final scoring.
Member Bosman?
Chair, I'm just worried that process is not, what's the word? It's difficult to defend that process. So if I'm an applicant and I have a query and I ask about the process, are we going to confidently be able to say that it was a process based on sort of, I don't want to use the word dubious, but is it a fair process? Was it fair to the candidates? And I wasn't part of it, so my question would be sort of, was there anybody who felt aggrieved by the process?
Chairperson, through you, there were no persons who expressed any dissatisfaction. For example, I see that it's 4-2, minister can appoint 4-14. What the committee did was, say, submitted a list of 20 persons, which would give the minister the option to fully capacitate the council. But obviously the name shortlisted would be people who would fit that profile of being able to be productive in terms of qualifications and experience. I can't recall now if there was a ranking, but I think there was a preferred order, and then there was the sort of the B list, where in the case of vacancies or people being dismissed, that instead of coming back to us, the minister would first have to exhaust the additional names. And one of the reasons for that is not so much for Heritage West, okay, but for the other two entities, the committee, it's a different process where the committee does the advertisement. So everything resides with us, whereas in this instance we get information from them, from the department, set, and we choose from the compilation of names. It would also avoid having to go through the process several times if there is
Member Barnes and Member Murray.
Thank you, Chair. There's one thing that I would like to agree with Member Bosma, is the fact that if we don't have something in front of us like the criteria now, I don't think it would be wisdom from our side to do everything now. It's better we go back the same way we had this package. Go back and rather have a meeting sooner to reconvene, and then reconvene and finalize, than getting a page now, rush through it, and then at the end of the day we haven't applied our minds thoroughly through this. The reason why I'm constantly coming back with the demographics, if the committee would allow me, we all had time, we spend the time here. I've heard from the report from Dr. last time when he said it was only Cape Town representative. But now this time I've seen there's Woosley, there's Swellendam, the Karoo is here. Those kind of things are new. It's new now. It wasn't there before. So if we have that criteria, we must sit down and think, how do we accommodate this to the best of our ability without rushing, so that we don't have any comeback. But thank you, Chair.
Member Marie?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I'm sorry that I stand corrected when I speak, because it could have been cut before. But Mr. Chairman, I think we must look more broadly. I think when we serve on a committee like this, we've got to start flexing muscles. There shouldn't be holy cows which we can't speak of. One of our holy cows is, I detest being called Clearland. Now, what is the Clearland culture? We are going to say that we are going to address issues of culture. Whose culture? Because there is a rejection of this term, it's derogatory. And this committee must say, what will its views be if you have people coming here telling us, please help us, we are not culture, we are not Clearland, I'm Griqua or Namakwa or I'm Khoi. And that is the designation I attach to myself, or whatever I am, but that is a culture. Clearland is not a culture. And if we are going to just brush over this, there's no such thing as a Clearland culture. We've got to address issues which were holy cows in the past, but we've got to face it head on. Then we're going to be seen to be making a difference. I appeal to you, sir, that could be an issue to be debated, and that we get these groups here to come and give evidence, the various groups, the Korana, the Griqua, the Naumama, to say, what do they feel about this title which the apartheid regime has given us?
I appreciate that comment, sir. I share views, and I'm sure that we can definitely have the discussion moving forward, but to stick to why we are here today,
yes,
in order to shortlist and to compile and to basically resolve on the process moving forward. What we will do is that we're seeing checked, and there is the 1st of October, which is the next date. I want the 1st of October is the next date, and remember that the term is coming to an end on the 31st of October. And if we resolve then to compile a short list that we will submit based on a ranking system, from our procedural officer we will receive a document in order to compile the ranking, and then we will go candidate 1, 2, 3, 4 up until 42 when we meet on the 1st of October, and to then rank it in that format. Is everyone happy with that?
Would it be useful if you use exactly the same sheet, and if you just turn it around, if you put the name of the person, but then just the, what they're applying as, so there's two, they're applying for the Heritage Council, as well as the geographic names and places, and then if you could maybe just as a, if you're doing this on Excel, we'll just include what the criteria is according to the regulation. So if we just include the regulation, so that what you've got here is you've got the two columns with their names, other names and the, what they're applying for. And then you also have maybe just as a sheet, that, a column that follows going down, all of the criteria that as in the regulation. So that as we're going through the names, the criteria stays on the screen.
Is that clear for everyone? And then after that shortlisting, the verification process will be undertaken by the department. Is everyone clear on that one? So the 1st of October, we will all meet here, but in the meantime, you will be receiving the document from WASI. If we can...
I didn't have this, so I don't know, Mr. Chairman, whether I've been purposely overlooked.
It was, in my understanding, that would have been delivered to your office.
When, sir?
Between the 20th and the end of August. Let's see who signed.
Okay, sir. Because I've been since then between two offices, sir. I moved from the fourth office to the fifth office, which has only been completed yesterday.
Okay.
Can I just ask a question?
You know
can
I
have to Mr. Marais?
You know
has he moved back to the DA of the first
floor? You know you are welcome here, sir. And based on the 22nd of August,
yes, sir.
You signed yourself.
I signed myself.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
So you received it.
I am, shall I say, vulnerable in that respect.
No problem. No problem. So just so that I'm clear and that I'm covered, I'm going to allow Wasim to sum up the process that we will move, how we will move forward, and then we will undertake to go to the minutes. But like I said, we are now, it's not even 10 o'clock as yet. And then for members to then even take the time to peruse the documents, make notes, etc., because that will only help us moving forward, because we have a strict deadline for that we would like to adhere to before the 31st of October. So we'll see.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I will have to redo the list and include the criteria as mentioned by Member Bosman. From that, members will use those criteria to sort of make your notes and so on. And then when we get back to the meeting of 1 October, we do the scoring from there. What I can do, I can flight it on the projector as well, so it's sort of open for everyone to see, and we can even have a report. I can prepare something that is generic, and we can just sort of panel beat it to the members' decision on the day. And in that way, everybody sees what's happening, and we can see the move as soon as possible.
Very good.
Thank you. Mr. Matthews is a very capable gentleman. Member Botha.
I concur that, Jane. I just want to also, in his very diligent way, to inform programming, because there's no program, there's no slot for us on the 1st of October, so this slot needs to be inserted into the parliamentary program.
Any other comments, members? In front of you, you will also have the minutes for the 20th of August. If we go to page number 1.
Page number one any omission that you note or amendment that
needs to take place? Page number 2. It may even be a standard acknowledgement line. Automatic.
Thank you, Member Botha is moving to adopt the minutes. Anyone second? Member Barnes, thank you. Members, again, thank you. We will
continue. Can I make a suggestion just on process? Is it possible for, because of our cluster, we've got three focus areas, that we could perhaps, to make Wasim's job easier as well, develop a resolutions tracker or decisions tracker so that we just keep an Excel spreadsheet or document with a rubric of every the date of the meeting, the item the decision was made, and just the record of the decision. It might be a lot easier for committee members to refer back to that than to every time going look through the minutes. Okay. Thank you for that suggestion. In moving forward, we are in the process of securing the spot for the 1st of October, but also the process and the email that you will receive in order to rank and score the members. Wasim highlighted how we will do it on the 1st of October, and hopefully at the end of that meeting we will be able to conclude. So, Member Marie.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to know, to what extent does ministers take note of our recommendations? When this committee interview officials come to conclusions, pass resolutions, and then inform the ministers, can we have a report back and to say what the minister's response was to our resolutions, or are we just a resolution factory? But there's no production. I'm concerned that there's a lot of resolutions being taken by the various committees, but we never get back a letter from the minister at the next meeting saying, I received your resolution and I am in favor of this, I'm giving attention to it, or I think it's a lot of bull, I'm not going to take note of it. I think the committee, if I talk about flexing muscles, then this is what I mean. The committee is going to become relevant, and not just a factory producing resolutions.
I agree with you on that, sir, and we will definitely request the response with regard to resolutions that we have undertaken here.
Thank you.
Members? A 3-hour slot turned into a 52-minute one, but we have tons of work to do. But I do thank you for being here. To the PMG at the back, to the media, thank you for being here. And again, to Wasim, thank you, and to Mary Ann. We will definitely move forward in this regard. And to conclude, let me read a portion of the preamble, seeing that I have an extra minute I can keep you. It said, our heritage is unique and precious, and it cannot be renewed. It helps us to define our cultural identity, and therefore lies at the heart of our spiritual well-being, and has the power to build our nation. It has the potential to affirm our diverse cultures, and in doing so, shape our national character.
I want to point of order, sir.
Sorry.
Not shape.
Shape.
Oh.
Daar is als mensen opgegroeid zijn, we zullen spelen. En ik heb buiten education gegeven. But so that is the gist of why we are here. And I do thank you for being here, and this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
You can ask him about both.